Michelle is an author who sells her books on the streets of New York City. She was running a table at an event when a gentleman, probably around the age of 60, walked up to purchase a book. "Did you write this book? This is outstanding," he said to her. She was quite flattered as she signed the book to a special friend, for he didn't state his name. He handed her a crumply $20 bill. She gave him the book and gave him $10 change, and he walked off. A few seconds later, Michelle went to put that money in her purse and looked down to find a blurry image on that $20 bill. And at that moment, she realized that she had been deceived. After unsuccessfully scanning the crowd, all she could do was file a police report. That day, she lost one of her books, and she lost $10. You see, deceivers are professional thieves. They're very good at what they do. Certainly, we can lose money and materials to them, as Michelle did. But we can also lose our soul. What we see, what we listen to, what we believe, nothing short of our eternal destiny is at stake. And we must not be fooled. This morning, we're going to see five differences that mark false teachers so that we will not be deceived. It comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. We continue our preaching series through the book of 1 Timothy, a few verses at a time. Last week we saw verses 1 and 2. This morning we pick up in verse 3. The Word of God declares, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose godliness is a means of great gain." Whoa, whoa, whoa. Michael, this is not a Mother's Day text. This is not Perfume and Petunias. Give me something sentimental. Pump me up. Why would you preach this passage on Mother's Day? I can assure you, this is the best gift I can give you. If any among us, any mothers, any fathers, any children, if any of us are following strands of false teaching, this is the best I can do for you on a holiday. Perhaps some of us here already believe strands of false teaching. Maybe some believe that we can go to heaven if we're only good enough. Some may believe that all religions are basically the same. Maybe we view God's love as a tolerance for all things. Or perhaps that praying a prayer gets us to heaven. Maybe we even embrace the false teaching of the world's favorite slogans. Happiness is the key to success. That's a false view of achievement. God never gives us more than we can handle. That's a false view of trials. God only helps those who help themselves. That's a low view of God. And then perhaps our society's favorite, believe in yourself. That's a high view of man. You see, we need the gift of this text today because we are prone to wrong belief. We need Jesus Christ to intervene, to come into our lives, into our minds, and saturate us with truth. So we do what the Bible does. We confront false teaching for the sake of our own souls. And we correct error by exposing false teachers. If you remember in this book, if you've been with us in chapter 1, Paul already attacked a lot of their bogus teaching from the Old Testament. In chapter 4, he condemned their self-denial tactics. And now again in chapter 6, he's coming around again. He's going to teach us about their characteristics. So of these five differences, I want us to see number one right now. False teaching comes from a different source. False teaching comes from a different source. So the origin of their teaching is not the Bible. As you can see in verse 3, the false teacher advocates a different doctrine. He promotes or he advances a different teaching. The word doctrine is just another word for teaching. And while we're here, I want us to recognize that this idea of false teachers and false teachings, this is not confined to just Paul's day. This isn't some New Testament idea housed in the church thousands of years ago. A false teaching takes place in many forms today. Benny Hinn, Jesse Duplantis, Stephen Furtick, Bill Johnson, Joel Osteen, these guys preach a false gospel. It's the word of faith. If only you believe enough, God will make it happen. It really treats God like a cosmic Santa Claus or some genie in the bottle. If you believe hard enough, God can bring it to pass. That's a false view of God. Rob Bell preaches annihilationism. That's the view that heaven will eventually disappear. Hell will eventually disappear. There's going to be no eternal damnation. That's a false view of hell. T.D. Jakes teaches the oneness of God. That's a false view of the Trinity. Joyce Meyer teaches that Jesus paid for sins in hell. He was the first born-again man and even stopped being God. That attacks the person of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've heard of Hillsong, Carl Lentz and Hillsong. They promote an unbiblical view of human sexuality. That attacks the biblical view of man. And Beth Moore hears God's voice. She sees visions and receives divine messages. That's an attack on the doctrine of the Bible. Maybe you've read their books. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, he claims to be a prophet with special insights into the Old Testament. He wrote a book called The Harbinger. These are 9 prophecies he makes of America, revelations he's had. That's an attack on the doctrine of the end times. William Young, there's the book, then the movie called The Shack. That's an attack on the Trinity. It's a blasphemous portrayal of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's an attack on the doctrine of the Trinity. And there's whole religions based around this stuff. Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, they believe works are required for salvation. Jehovah's Witnesses require baptism for salvation. And Roman Catholics and Russian Orthodox require sacraments to be saved. All of that attacks the doctrine of salvation, the free grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, that's the short list. There's a whole lot more out there. And you compare any of these teachings, any of these religions, any of these doctrines to the Bible, and you'll find that they are false. And we must not be fooled. Of false teachers, Dr. John MacArthur writes, they will either add to the Bible, take away from the Bible, interpret it in some heretical fashion, they'll add other revelations to it, or just deny it altogether. So with so many wrong views, how can we be right? How can we know what is true? Verse 3 answers that. The sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ship that delivers us through the storm of false teaching. Ephesians 4:21, truth is in Jesus. In contrast, the false teacher and the true teacher. The false teacher finds his source for teaching elsewhere. It's not in Christ Jesus. The true teacher agrees with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate source for sound doctrine. Obviously, we can look to the words of Christ in the Bible. Mainly, that'd be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Some of our Bibles have his words in red. Certainly, that is a good starting place. But at the same time, keep in mind that Jesus' words are not superior to the rest of Scripture. I want to present to you that all of Scripture are the words of Jesus. Take Paul, for example. Jesus authorized Paul and many others to be apostles or prophets, authorized representatives to record his words. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, Paul exhorts churches in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's a man speaking with authority. The Galatians received Paul even as they did Christ Jesus himself. Paul and Jesus have an equal way to speak into the lives of the church. These early churches recognized the apostles' authority right on the same level as they did Jesus. And hear the promise of Jesus as he speaks to his apostles. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes," this is the Holy Spirit, "he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." Well, what did the Holy Spirit disclose? This book, the New Testament. The Old Testament was already recognized as God's words. So taken all together, we have the Bible, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." Jesus says, "It is these that testify about me." And when the word of the Lord is received, there is godliness. This is the last part of verse 3. Godliness is a behavior in line with the word of God. Or as we have said, the words of Christ. And this is an inseparable unity. Belief and behavior going together. The great 18th century theologian Jonathan Edwards wrote, "The ideas and images in men's minds are the invisible powers that constantly govern them." Our behavior always flows from what we believe. Wrong belief leads to wrong living, to say it negatively, but belief in the words of Christ lead to godliness, lead to holy living. And as sure as the night flows from the day, so too does godliness from right belief. False teaching has little interest in this. Its source is not in the Bible. And as a result, there is little or no godliness. Let me just give you one evidence of teaching based in the Bible. Last week, some of our church leaders and I attended a conference for pastors and church leaders. And we sat together in this large sanctuary. It seated about 1,500 men. It was full. That many men were in attendance. Now, I know that all kinds of gatherings look this way. I mean, cults can attract a large group of people. In fact, they better, because they appeal to men's emotions. They appeal to the carnal men. Men like that, they respond. They can draw a crowd. So what's different? Well, here's the difference. As I looked up and down the rows in that conference, on every lap sat an open Bible. And as men got up to preach, every message was grounded in the Bible. They would get up and say, "Open up your Bible to," it fell in the blank. Look at verse 7. Turn over to verse 5. You see, true teaching comes from the Bible. So as we turn on the TV or read the book or scan the bestsellers list, or get on YouTube, or surf through Facebook, we need to compare what we read and hear and then believe to the Word of God. The second mark of false teachers. False teachers possess a different mentality. They possess a different mentality. Their mindset is not right. I'm going to apply a few sayings to their thinking that we're all familiar with. They have a few loose screws. There are a few apples short of a dozen. the elevator doesn't make the top floor. I'm not saying that these guys are stupid. In fact, they're quite clever and they're very cunning. Some of them may be very smart, but they're spiritually deprived to a different degree. Verse 4 teaches they are conceited and they understand nothing. Charles Williams is a Greek professor. He paraphrases the New Testament and he puts these words together. He says the false teacher is a conceited ignoramus. He's conceited, he's puffed up, he's pretentious, he's pompous, he's full of himself, or she's full of herself. This false teacher desires to put himself on display, not Jesus Christ. Let's gain a following for myself, not Christ. Build my own kingdom, not God's kingdom. Proclaim my own views, not God's views. I know in this life, a fear of man is always a danger, but these guys crave the approval and the affection of men. In fact, they are experts at it. They are very good at what they do. They're going to manipulate emotions. They'll make you laugh. They'll make you cry. By the end of the show, they'll make you love them. And we will think, wow, what an experience. Boy, he's good. He's good because he made me feel good. But he understands nothing. 1 Timothy 1:7, they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. They don't understand the Bible, and they make no attempt at productive study. They're confident, yet they're arrogant. They're attractive, yet they're hollow. They're bold, yet they're lost. And they lack a genuine spiritual knowledge. Verse 5 teaches, they're men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. That's their spiritual character. They're filled with themselves. They're conceited, they're ignorant, and they're spiritually lost. So here their second mark is that they possess a different mentality. Thirdly, false teachers blaze a different trail. False teachers blaze a different path. You see, their teaching will lead to dispute. Verse 4 teaches they have a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. You see, these folks are busy with the wrong pursuits. He has a morbid interest in controversial questions. This man is not healthy. In fact, the Greek word for morbid means sick or diseased. Paul pulled over from the field of medicine this word to describe a spiritual condition. The false teacher is going to enjoy debate, likes to argue about words. And this is in contrast to verse 3. In verse 3, the Greek word for sound is another medical term. We get our English word hygiene from it. The right teacher agrees with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, the wrong teacher, he has a compulsion towards argument, towards wrangling about words. He's unhealthy. So these guys are blazing a different path that does not lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we would not be surprised, their fourth mark, false teachers create a different result. False teachers create a different result. The end of their teaching is not peace. Look with me at verses 4 and 5. Paul is going to list their effect. Out of their ministry arises envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction. This describes them. It could also describe their followers. And that list there, that's not of the Lord. These churnings are not from the Spirit of God. In fact, one of the first changes a Christian experiences is peace. There's a calm. There's a contentment in our soul. A sin is a great weight upon the unconverted heart. We come to faith in Christ. It's like we took a deep breath. And there's a peace. There's a stillness. In John 14:27, Jesus promises, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I'm still struck by this verse even to today. Before I came to faith in Christ, there was this constant discontentment, a lack of satisfaction. There's nothing I could do to heal it. It was an artificial, temporary filling from time to time, but it's not like coming to faith in the Lord and having a peace, having a calm. I was unsettled. I could not find satisfaction, and then I came to faith in the Lord. There's peace. The effect or the result of the false teaching is not peace. Envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, constant friction. I mean, that's headed down into the deep, dark jungle of discontentment. The peace of Jesus Christ is not found there. False teachers create a different result. They blaze a different path. They possess a different mentality. They use a different source. And fifthly, they seek a different goal. They abuse godliness for personal gain. It's verse 5. They suppose that godliness is a means of gain. That verse is very important to our passage at large. In verses 3 to 5 today, we see how that applies to false teaching. Next week, verses 6 and following, that's going to apply to the broader issue of contentment. But this false teacher turns our faith into a commercial enterprise. They use Christianity to get rich. We might say it that way. They're greedy. They're self-serving. They'll exploit people for selfish gain. They abuse the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They abuse the name of our Lord. And it's all for profit. And it's all for popularity. They use the Christian faith to make money. And you'll never need to go further than your couch to find these folks. The TV schedule for the Trinity Broadcasting Network, you might know it as TBN, that's a who's who of false teachers. Kenneth Copeland is one of their stars on his 1,500-acre ministry campus just off the private airstrip. Alongside his other aircraft is his personal jet. It was recently acquired, and one of his leaders came out and made a statement about it. The Holy Spirit, quote, confirmed to Brother Copeland that the Gulfstream 4 plane was the plane the Lord had set aside for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Why does Brother Copeland need a private jet? Well, people come up to him and bother him on commercial flights. He says this, quote, "You can't manage that today in this dope-filled world. Get in a long tube with a bunch of demons, and it's deadly." Apparently, the man needs his privacy. That's a remarkable corruption of the Christian faith. These false teachers are not innocent. They have a different source, a different result. They lead us down a different path. They have a different mentality, all with the end of a different goal. And I want us to hear the warning in today's passage as we close. It probably has less to do with us actually becoming false teachers and more to do with us believing false teachers. People go to hell because they have the wrong belief. Muslims, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, they do all kinds of good works. They might give more time and more money and more love. Yet good works never saved anybody. Belief saves. And that belief had better be right. Right belief always flows from right teaching, from true teaching, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. False teaching leads to false belief. Tim Challies is an author. He's an elder at a church in Canada. I read his stuff from time to time, and he also seems to be a pretty inquisitive guy. He writes of a time he went into the Bank of Canada. He wants to learn about counterfeit detection, detecting counterfeit currency. He goes through a series of locked doors. He has his ID confirmed, and there he sits with a currency expert. And he discovers what some of you may already know. Identifying counterfeit currency begins with the study of genuine currency. You want to know what the fake bills are like, you start studying a genuine bill. He was taught touch, tilt, look through, look at. Touch the paper. Unique paper will cause other bills, fake bills, to feel fake. Tilt. Look for the holographs in the bill as you tilt it back and forth. Look through. Hold it up to the light. You can see holograms built in. And look at. Typically, there's fine line printing or a background printed in to the paper. But that's not what I found most surprising about this. He goes on to note that the Canadian government expects each citizen, every citizen, to be discerning with every bill they receive. Once a bill is accepted, that person is responsible for it. Friends, God holds us responsible for every belief we hold. He holds us responsible for every belief we pass to others. And we have every advantage in this. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Word of God. If you read this, if you study this, you will not be swindled by false teachers. If you need help with that, come on out to our Wednesday nights. We're going to teach you to read and study the Bible. It's not hard. There's some very simple methods we can employ to grow in our knowledge. But most of all, I want you to know genuine currency. You need to know Jesus Christ. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That Christ was buried. And that Christ rose again, according to the Scriptures, on the third day. Sound doctrine always points to the death of Jesus Christ. All of us owe a debt for our sin. Only Christ can pay that debt. Sound doctrine points to the burial of Jesus Christ. He went into the grave, just as our sin does when we repent and turn to Him in faith. And sound doctrine points to the resurrection of Christ. New life is ours with the guarantee that eternal life is secured by Him. Friends, these are sound words. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us this morning.